Well, Lord, where's the preacher today? He's here. Oh, who's preaching? You are. Why am I preaching, Lord? Well, I called you to do this. But Lord, it's raining outside. And I'm tired. And I'm not worthy. And I don't feel like it. But I died for you. And I rose from the dead. What do you want me to do, Lord? Get up and preach. Yes, sir. Now, that's the way most of us are about anything about the Lord, if we're honest about it. You know, I mean, how can I do this, Lord? I'm not worthy, and I just don't feel like it. It's raining, it's snowing, it's doing something. And you know what you have to do in the Lord? Just do what He asks. We've all been blessed in some way. We all have gifts, and God just said, get up and do it. But a lot of times, because somebody criticized us about something, we decide, well, maybe we shouldn't do this. But you have to understand, there's going to be always going to be somebody that's going to criticize you. There's always going to be something happened during the week that was a bump in the road that the enemy's using to discourage you. Whenever something's going good, the enemy's going to try to discourage you in some way. He's going to try to mess you up. Guaranteed. But we can look him in the eye and say, you know, I'm blessed in Jesus Christ, and He's asked me to do something. I can do it because He's anointed me to do it. Amen. And then you do it, whatever it is. Call somebody, bless somebody, pray for somebody, or whatever it is. Because, as I said last week, and I'm going to continue this week, you're already accepted in the Lord if you know Christ as your personal Savior. You are accepted. You can't work for it. You can't get any more of it than you have right now. It's impossible. You can understand more of it. You can do more of it as we respond to what God wants us to do. But the issue is very simply this. You are accepted right now. Now, only if you've accepted Christ. And a person knows inside of them if they've surrendered to the Lord or not. They know inside of them. We all do. We know if we know the Lord or not. Just because things happen in life have nothing to do with your security in Christ. Because He has gone through it all already on the cross of Calvary. And when it was done, He said, it's finished. The plan of salvation is finished. The work I've for you for eternity is finished. I have set it all down. I have completed it. It's done in your life. All you have to do is respond and do it. Do I hear an amen? Amen. But we set back. You know, it's interesting in the Bible, we like to overlook certain things. Jesus told a story. He was talking about this guy that owned a farm, and on this farm he had a bunch of fruit trees, and he would gather that fruit and sell it in the fall. And one, he was going down the row of fruit trees, and he came by this one tree. All the rest of the trees had fruit on it, but this one tree. And so he looked at his worker there, the laborer, and he said to him, what's wrong with this tree? It doesn't have any fruit. And the guy said, well, we've done everything with that tree. We have all the rest of them. And so the owner said, cut the tree down and throw it in the fire. And the laborer said, oh, wait a minute, he said. Give me one more year. I want to fertilize this tree. I want to dig around it. I want to prune it. I want to get it ready, and we'll give it one more year. And I'm going to tell you, that's the way it is with us. God doesn't expect us to be Christians and not have the fruit of the Lord in our life. He expects us to produce fruit, not all the same. Some are pears, some are apples, some are cherries, some are different things. But we all have fruit of the Lord, and He expects us to use that in this life as He directs. Amen. whether you feel like it or not, what the weather's like, or any of those kind of things, God just says, do it. And you start by doing it. You may stumble, and you may stutter, and you may mess it up, you think, the first time, but God is so blessed. Amen. You ever seen the first time, if you ever had a child or a grandchild, and they're in a Christmas play, and they're supposed to get up to the microphone and say something, and they mess it all up, and they're so cute, and you say, hallelujah, praise God, isn't that wonderful? That's exactly what God does with you, even if you mess it up. If you go to do what he's called you to do. And God always has, I don't care what place in life you are, what you're going through, God always has something at that point in your life that he will bless you with and for you to do. And, you know, we learn through the hard places better than we do the smooth places. You know, we were, if you drive down Rockford Street, you'll find one that's just wonderful and it's smooth and you're just going right along. You're not learning too much. You're just going along. But you come to a bunch of holes in the road, you slow it down, you learn to go around them, you learn how to avoid them, you learn how to not damage your car and all that kind of thing. And that's the way it is in life with you. You go through a rough spot, that's where you learn, that's where you grow. That's where you prepare for the good times, you see. And so bad times are not all bad. I'm going to tell you, what the country's going through is not all bad, because there's going to be a lot of people saved because they're going to lose what was their God. And some of them already have. And they're going to be seeking, what's going on here? What's this life all about? And that's what the rough spots are for, to determine what this life's all about. And so we need to understand that we are, we're always praying for God to do something. Do something, God. Do something, God. Do something, God. And he's just waiting there for us to do something because of who we are. He wants to act like who we are. He wants us to be like Christians in this land. He wants us to be lights in this earth. He wants us to make a difference in the time that we have. It doesn't make any difference about the time we don't have. And it doesn't make any difference what happened before you were born. And it's not going to make that much difference afterwards as far as this earth is concerned. But the time you have is the time that you're going to be able to produce fruit for God. And it's not asking God to do things. The only thing we're going to ask him, God, what do you want me to do? You know, they always talked about John F. Kennedy. He said, don't ask what your country can do for you. Somebody forgot that in these days. It's what can you do for your country? You know, and that's pretty, because you already are a citizen.
That's right.
You're not trying to be one. You are one. And so because you are one, you're going to act like one. And you're going to take your responsibility and do what you're supposed to be doing. Instead of just throwing your life down the tube, which all of us have done part of our lives, if we're honest.
That's right.
You see. But it doesn't make any difference about that part. It's what's going on now. If you have 10 years, you have 20, you have 30, or the Lord comes, whatever the case may be, whenever that's going to be, which probably isn't very long. So Grace and I just keep praying, God, whatever you want us to do in the rest of the time we have, we want to do it. Show us what you want us to do in the time we have. We want to do that. That's all that's important. The rest of it doesn't mean anything. Don't try to hoard things in this life because it's all going to be gone, you see. It doesn't mean you shouldn't have nice things and enjoy nice things and have time to yourself and that kind of thing. But the issue is God should be number one when you get up. Lord, this is your day. What do you want us to do today? And you go to bed at night, give me a good rest, Lord, because I want to get up tomorrow and be ready to do what you want me to do. It might be just go to your job and do a good job in the name of Jesus. You see, every day has a place where you can put Christ that's going to make a difference. Every single day. I don't care if you're confined to your house. If you have a telephone, if you have something else. My son called me up from Wichita and he says, I got a new phone. And I said, oh, is that right? He said, yeah, you just touch this thing. It's a touch screen thing, if anybody knows anything about those phones. I don't. Well, He's still learning because he touched the wrong thing and cut us off. That's modern technology for you, you understand. But so he had to call me back up. He's still learning how to use the thing. But the issue is, we're still learning how to use this life in the name of Jesus. And we need to realize we're in the learning, but in the midst of the learning, we need some doing, you see. And some people say, you know, this life is just so boring. Do something. Don't just sit around and watch TV and say, oh, this life's just so boring. It's just so boring. Well, it is if you're doing that. And the issue is, look in Ephesians 1, 17. Somebody said, I don't like that church. I just like to go to church and sit and listen and then go home. Well, you're in the wrong place. Because we want to fire you up to do something when you get there, you see. Ephesians 1, 17. I don't know. The Bible just keeps talking about Jesus came. He did this. He did that. He did something else. He did this. All directed by the Father. And that's what we are to do. That's what our life should be, being directed by the Lord and the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we're here for. Ephesians 1, 17. You think you were here just to wash your face and shave in the morning? Give me a break. There's more to it than that. Talking to the men, of course. Yeah. Okay. That's a little more than we want to know there, Dave. Let's go to Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, look at this, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's you. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So this says we're supposed to learn. We're supposed to be learning. We're supposed to be learning so we can do things that God wants us to do here, so we're going to be blessed later. What you're storing up now for later. You're doing these things now for later. Some people just do what's going on now, and that's all they care about. They don't care about tomorrow. And there is some good to that, but the issue is we're storing up things for eternity.
That's right.
We have so many years to store up things for eternity that we're going to enjoy forever. Now, Paul prayed, Lord, please help them to see and understand what you've already done. That's what he prayed. And so we should be, Lord, show me what you're doing and what you want to do in my life, in the life of those around me. That's what we need to be trying to understand, and praying. Paul just kept preaching what God's already done, It was complete. It's complete in you. Now just work it out. If you got a new car, drive it. You just don't sit there and look at it and say, isn't that wonderful?
Right.
You see, you drive that thing. And when that wears out, you get another one. And you drive that. But the purpose isn't driving the car. It's where it takes you.
Right.
You see. Where's life taking you? Closer to God? Doing the works of God, or is it taking you away from God? If it's taking you away from God, make some changes. Because that's not working.
That's right.
Now, when we pray for revival, remember, God's already done it. It was planned before the foundation of the world. Just start receiving it. Start receiving what God... Now, God has his timing for everything. But the issue is, be planning. When the timing comes, do it. The timing comes, do it, you see. What if God just moved in here and we had so many people coming, we had to have services every night? Would you adjust? I would hope so, to be part of what God's doing. Pick the fruit when it's ripe.
That's right.
That's the issue. When God he causes this fruit to grow and mature, and then it's ripe, and it isn't there just to look at it. It's there to pick it, eat it, use it. That's the thing with the things of God. He's already planned it all. But what we have to do is find out what he's planned, get in on what he's doing, and then start praying like it's happening, you see, and speak to it. Don't keep, you know, there's certain things in the Bible that God commanded and we are to command in our life. It's not all asking. Sometimes it's commanding in the name of Jesus. Now, we need to learn these things, you see. What when Jesus prayed, he didn't pray, oh God, do this, oh God, heal this, and oh God, do this stuff. He just said, God, what are you doing? I want to get in on it. Show me what you're doing today. Show me what you, who you want me to pray for. Show me who, because he knew they were going to be healed. He just said, I want to see it. God showed him this guy in the hospital, people all around him. He'd been there how many years? And Jesus walked through all those sick people, went to that guy, spoke to him, and he was healed. Why was that? It was planned before the foundation of the world. God knew what he was going to do on that day. Jesus obeyed the Father, went to that guy. That guy was healed. That's the way it works. He didn't say heal everybody in the place. It would have been okay. At times that happened, I think. But not in that particular time. All we have to do, revival comes when we obey God. It's just that simple. We don't have to conjure it up. We don't have to work for it. We have to receive it because that's what it is. You know, in the Azusa Street Revival 100 years ago, that revival actually started in a church. It started in a traditional denominational church. And people started getting healed. Everything started happening. People getting saved. And all the gifts started rising up. And you know, after about 6 months of that, the most of the people said, we don't want that here. Can you imagine? They said, we don't want that. It's messing up our religion. It's messing up our church going. It's messing up what we're used to. It's messing up what we had back when we were a kid and went to church. God changed this thing and we don't like it. So they had to move the revival down to an old livery stable, which it had animals in it. They had to clean it out, can you imagine? They put a bunch of old crude benches in there. It was a pretty good sized place. They could seat 500 people. And people started coming from all over the world. What was going on at that church down the street that refused the work of God? Oh, they were having church just like they always had church. Trying to seek God. Trying to get God to do something. He was already doing something. They just had to get in on what he was doing. You know, what do you think would have happened if God got these disciples? And they said, oh, yes, Jesus, we want to follow you. And then they said, okay, I want you to go over to Samaria. They hated the Samaritans. But they said, go over to Samaria. They said, well, no, Lord, anything but that. Well, that's the end of that service. You have to be willing to go where God wants you to go. You have to be willing to change things. I was managing a store, and God said, I want you to preach. And I said, God, it doesn't make sense to me, particularly the life I've led so far, see. I wasn't looking at what Jesus did. I was looking at what I had done, you see. And I finally got to the place, I said, well, Lord, it's up to you, I'll do it. And I did. But I had to change everything. My father-in-law got all over my case and he said, you're crazy. You got a good job here and you're making good money. You're providing for my daughter. He liked that part. He didn't have to do it. And he said, you are out of your mind. He said, you're going to starve. What he was afraid of, he was going to have to support me if I didn't make it in the ministry. That's what the problem was. And the issue was, I had to decide if I was going to follow God or not. I'm here to tell you it's better to follow God.
That's right.
You see. And that's what he's saying, you see. We just want to get in on what God has already done. And that's what's happening now. If you notice, God's growing this place. God's doing something in here. And it isn't because we're asking him to do it. He wanted to do it. It's just that we're letting him do it. We're letting him do what he wants to do. And that's the issue. And that's what the Christian life is. Look in Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints. You know, it's not complicated. God said, start loving people and I'll bring revival.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Start loving your family. Start loving your friends. Start loving the ones you work with. I'll bring revival. You just start loving them like I love you. Like I love you. He says, start loving other people that way. You'll have revival. Won't be a problem. It'll come. And so Paul just wanted them to know what was already there, what they could pick, what they could use, and what they could have. And look in Ephesians 1, 8 and 9, in which he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. God's already purposed it. He has purposed it in us. We just have to discover it and move on in the things of God. And that's what Paul's talking about here. In Ephesians 1:18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. We already looked at that we may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope in our life being called by Jesus Christ? That's what it's talking about here. And what are the riches of his glory? We have to find out what those things are by receiving what God has. A little here, a little there, a little some. We don't need anything new. We just need to take a hold of what we have.
Tell it, brother.
You see what I'm saying? We're always looking for something new, some new thing, some new person, some new word. Just live the word that you have. We got a Bible here. Get in it and start living, doing what God says. I don't want to be a tree that's cut down and thrown in the fire. Are you listening to me? So I'm going to let that word of God do its work. That's the fertilizer in my life. I want it to do its work, complete work that can be done in me. It won't be the same as you. It won't be the same as somebody else. It won't be like some other preacher. It doesn't make any difference. I'm supposed to be doing what God's called me to do, to whoever he's called me to, you see. We just need to understand what he did on the cross. That took care of the sin problem. That took care of the healing problem. That took care of all the things that God wanted to do. It was done there. You're the seed. Grow into what you're supposed to be, you see. And some of you are supposed to be oak trees and some apple trees and some something else. Grow into what God wants you to grow into. It doesn't make any difference what anybody thinks about it. It's what God wants in your life. Nobody else is going to totally understand what God's called you to do. I can tell you that right now. They won't understand it. They won't, they can't, it doesn't compute to them, you see. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean I buy myself an atomic weapon and go blow somebody up. It isn't what that means. It means I'm a conqueror in what God has called me to do. That's where I'm a conqueror. I'm a conqueror in what I'm supposed to be in Christ, you see. Romans 8:38, look at that quickly. Romans 8:38. There's just all kinds of terrific scriptures. But Romans 8:38, there's a whole lot of things here. Now, here's what it says. Well, if we're looking 37, Romans 8:37, look at this. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. That's talking about Christians. Through him that loved us. He didn't ask me to go conquer some enemy. He asked me to go conquer the enemy. That's the devil. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God.
That's right.
That said so right there.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing. Death, life, none of those things can separate you from God. And so we need to understand that. Just believe what the Word of God says. We've been transformed, the Bible says we've been transformed from darkness to light. We've been transformed from unrighteousness to righteousness. We've been transformed from unholiness to holiness. In our spirit, it is complete. Now let it work out in your life. And the way you do that, simply get in the Word of God, stay in the Word of God. We'll be talking about that in some of the days to come. Now, we've been transformed into righteousness. I want to show you where it says that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we need to take these scriptures and claim them for yourself. This is what God says about you. Now, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. You've seen it many times before, but here's what it says. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Where is that? In your spirit.
There you go.
In your spirit, it's done. You are totally righteous.
Yep.
The only way you're going to go to heaven is be righteous in your spirit. If you receive Christ, you receive his righteousness, you're going to heaven.
Yep.
It's just that simple. It has nothing to do with what you do, don't do, want to do, or might have done. It hasn't got anything to do with it. It has to do with having the righteousness of Christ, which come through Jesus. He's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Behold, all things become new. That's in your spirit. Now go down to verse 21. For he has made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, or to become our sin, that we might be made, created, the righteousness of God in him. That's a direct creation of God. When you become a Christian, you become a direct creation of God. You are a son or daughter of God. You may not be living like it, but you are. Now he wants you to start living like it, which is going to take time. I'm going to tell you, a lot of things my wife asked me, we were talking today, something about, she said, I heard you used to be angry, and I was before I was saved. And I'll tell you, then I got saved, and I still battled that for a period of time. I don't anymore, but it takes time. Let God work these things in you. If you mess up after you become a Christian, confess it, flee from it, move on. Eventually, you're going to find out you don't have that problem anymore because it starts working out in your soul. You are complete in your spirit. You're righteous in your spirit. You're sinless in your spirit. But in your soul, that has to be worked out. That's your mind, will, and emotions. People don't understand that. And then they get saved, and they do something stupid, and they say, I must be lost. No. What happened? You haven't matured in your soul, in your mind, will, emotions, and actions. That comes after salvation. Usually doesn't happen all at once. And some people it does. Most people it does not. You have to learn that, living life and being obedient to Christ. And when that happens, you'll find eventually those things will slip away. They won't be there anymore. And that's what it's talking about here. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Chapter 4 and verse 24. And here's what it says. Ephesians 4, 24. This is for you and this is for me. And that you put on the new man or new woman, whichever, which after Christ is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now that's not talking about your spirit. It's talking about your soul. You have to do that on a daily basis. You put on the new man, the new creation. You start living like what? You are. It's like the little girl with the tattered dress that no longer was in poverty, but she was in the king's house, but she was still living like she was in poverty. That's what happens to Christians after they get saved. They don't understand. It's a process. You have to start learning what's in the closet, learning what God wants you to put on, learning what God wants you to wear, how He wants you to be, and where He wants you to go. That's just very simply it. Now, in 4:24 it says, that you keep on putting the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's something you have to do. You couldn't save yourself, that's done. But you can control your actions. Now that's what it's talking about. Some people get saved and they say, well, God's controlling it, so if I get angry, it must be God because He saved me. I don't think so. We're responsible for what we do. We're responsible for what we say. We're responsible for what we think. A lot of people don't want to be responsible. So there goes some church where they read poems and do all kinds of stuff and never make anybody responsible. Well, that's not this place. You see, because that's not what I'm supposed to do. Okay, let's look at this. We're going to run through some scriptures here. I want to show you something. Colossians 1:13. Get there is right after Philippians, Colossians 1:13. And here's what it says. Now, this is talking to you and I. Who has delivered us? That's Christ. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now what that says is He took you out of your poverty and put you in the king's house. He took you out of that bad stuff and put you into the good. But you got to get in the closet and start trying on the clothes. You have to do that part. God's not going to dress you. You got to do these things yourself. You can't just sit back, well, when God puts it on me, I guess I'll have it. I don't think so. He's already put it in you. Now He wants to put it on you. Have you got it? He wants us to be like Christ. He wants us to start acting like Jesus. It doesn't happen in one day. It doesn't happen in an hour. It happens in a period of time. Now, that says He's taken you out of the darkness, put you into light. You're there forever. Do with it what you can do before you go to heaven. Can you imagine that little girl dying and standing before Jesus, and He said, well, how'd you like the clothes? Well, I just went in and looked at them, never tried them on. I have no idea what they look like. Now, how do you think that's going to go over? How'd you like the Word of God? How did you like the being involved in church? How'd you like being, try these things on, put them on, do these things? Now, look back in Ephesians 1:19, and I'm going to show you something else. Now, this says that He's given us His power. Say, His power. Once again, His power. He's given that to you to live the Christian life. Ephesians 1:19, we already looked at it. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? And if you read verse 20, you'll find it's the same power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His right hand in heavenly places. God has put that power in you. Now, how would it be to stand before Jesus and He said, how'd you like my power? Well, I never really tried it, Lord. Oh, my. You're not going to know the power of God unless you start doing what He wants you to do. Because that's what His power is for, to empower you to do what He has called you to do. It may be praying for your whole family, giving them the Word of God and getting them all saved. Just whatever it is. It's not the same for everybody, but everybody has that one. You know. I know this lady who had a son that wasn't saved, and she was in a church that didn't preach the Word of God. And she talked to me about him being saved. I said, I'll pray for him to get saved. But I said, get out of that church and get into a church where they're preaching salvation and the Word of God, and get him in there, and he'll get saved. That was 10 years ago, and they're still going to the same church. And he's not saved. What a waste is right. 10 wasted years. Now, he gave us the power to do what he's called us to do. Now, if he said you're going to be witnesses, then he'll give you the power to be a witness. You might mess it up at first. First time I preached, I cried for 20 minutes. They had an invitation. Nobody understood anything I said. I was crying too much. 3 people got saved. I did what the Lord told me to do. My mother was there. I felt like a complete idiot. And I was preaching for all these people I didn't even know. Didn't know any of them except my mother. Yeah, she thought it was great. I said, man, did I mess it up? I'm quitting. I'm through. That was it. But I didn't. And it kept on moving. Okay. Then it says in the Bible, he gave us life. Now, that doesn't mean just life to live and die and go to hell. We're talking about eternal life. He gave us life. Galatians 2:20. Let's look at that real quick here. Galatians 2:20, everybody probably memorized that one. But anyway, here's what it says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That's the life of God. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If you never read any rest of the Bible, rest of the week, and just read that scripture right there 10 times each day, it'd change your life. It would change your life. The Word of God is the power. It's life. Now the Bible says that God gave you wisdom. Look in first, say wisdom.
Wisdom.
Once again, wisdom.
Wisdom.
Okay, it says God gave you wisdom. I want to show you. You have wisdom to do whatever God's called you to do. That's in 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I'm not making this up. Here's what God said. Here's some of the clothes in the closet. All right? But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, what?
Wisdom.
Say wisdom.
Wisdom.
Righteousness. Say righteousness. Sanctification.
Sanctification.
Redemption. There it is, 4 things right there in the closet. You have them, they're yours. God said this belongs to you. Go in and start living like those things are you. Now, he's given you victory. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. Well, you don't have to work for these things. You already have these things.
That's right.
It's so amazing to me. You go in some church and they'll tell you, now if you come to church every day this year and you're here every time the door opens, then God's going to bless you. Nonsense. He blessed you at the cross. You ought to be in church.
That's right.
But the issue is, you already have it. You're going to bring it to church. Hallelujah.
Right.
If there's going to be revival in church, you're going to bring it to the church because God's put it in you. Amen?
That's right.
We're not come to church looking for it. We come to church bringing it. You see, let's start getting our thinking right. My goodness, quit looking for stuff you already have and start bringing it in to the house of God. Hallelujah. This thing's just a building without you. Are you listening to me? But when you're in here, God's in here. You see, that's what the Word of God says. We have to start believing it. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57. Let's say it together. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have Jesus?
Yes.
Then you have what?
Victory.
You have Jesus?
Yes.
You have what?
Victory.
There it is. You already have it. Quit looking for it. You got it. You see. And when you start, just start walking in this and start letting it be a part of your life. Now look in 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:20. I want to show you. God's got them scattered all over the Bible, so you have to dig them out. It's like one of those closets. It's so messy you can't find anything because you got to dig everything out to find it. Well, it's kind of like that. Maybe not. Anyway, here it is. 1 John 2:20. Now, this says, but we have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. What's that mean? If you have the anointing of God, you know everything God wants you to do if you're listening to Him.
That's right.
I didn't say it's what somebody else is going to be doing. I say what you're doing.
That's right.
There's a lot of things I don't need wisdom about, but there isn't anything I can't accomplish in Jesus that He's called me to do because He's anointed me to do it. It says so right here. Let's say it together. But you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, and you know some things. Amen. That's it. All things. Everything that you need to know, you know. You haven't got any excuse. No excuse to say, oh, it's raining outside, I can't do that. You haven't got any excuse to say, I'm too tired. You haven't got any excuse to say, I don't feel like it. Because you have it. You can't say, I'm not worthy. He's made you worthy already.
Get out, brother.
We don't strive to be worthy. We are worthy in Him. I didn't say everything you did was worthy. I said you are worthy. In your spirit, it's there. Draw it out of there and start allowing that to happen in your life. And you can just go on and on with this faith and so on. You are a saint now. How many are saints in here?
Get on it.
Let me try this differently. How many are saved?
That's right.
Okay, then how many are saints? Should be the same hands going up.
Get on it.
Boy, so everybody's afraid. Oh, my God, don't let anybody know I'm a saint. I might not live up to it. Doesn't make any difference. Jesus already did.
That's right.
It doesn't depend on you. It depends on Him. That doesn't mean we can do anything we want to.
That's right.
There's consequences for doing wrong. I mean, my goodness, I'm not teaching you to go out and do anything you want to because you're saved. That's stupid.
That's right.
You can't. Well, you can, but you're going to pay for it if you do. Now, I'm almost finished. Okay. So what we have to do is find out what we have in the Spirit. Start believing it and start doing what God wants you to do. Some people, they know something to do, so they do that all the time because they're afraid to pull out of that because they're not sure if God's going to do it or not. Well, there's only one way to find out.
Yep.
When you learn to ride a bicycle, there's only one way to do it I know of, and that's get on the thing.
Get on.
You know what I'm saying?
It's
funny, we get to the Christian life, we do it totally different. Oh, God, you got to help me. I just can't do anything, Lord. Oh, God, help me. Get on the thing and ride it.
That's right.
Start walking in the Spirit. Get in the Word of God and start being what you can be. There can't anything stop you in Jesus Christ. You understand? If you die, that's victory. What are you worried about? I'll go be with the Lord anytime.
That's right.
Then have to act like a fool in front of you people. Oh, my. Here we go. All right. God's glory is already inside there. Just open that little door and say, how you doing in there? You see? That's what you got to start doing. There isn't anything you can't do. Nothing can stop you from doing what God wants you to do.
That's right.
Nothing.
That's right.
The devil will try. You got to focus your attention on Jesus on the cross. He did it all. He did it all. He did it all. I tell you, I can't watch that Passion enough times. It was horrible cruelty. But I'm going to tell you what love God had. I just love that part. He's coming down the Via Della Rosa, and he's fallen down, and his mother comes running over there, and he said, you think he's going to complain, you know. And he says, behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. He didn't take one stripe. He didn't shed one drop of blood that it didn't pay for something in your life and mine. Are you listening? Not one drop. Every one of them counted for you and me. And I'm going to tell you, I'd rather depend on his blood than mine.
Amen.
Have to focus on it's a done deal.
That's right.
I just keep saying it's a done deal. Quit working for it and just enjoy it and get in it and do it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something on my wife. You know she came up here and sang today?
Yep.
You know why she hadn't been singing up here? I think somebody told her one time they didn't like her singing. And so I said, okay, today I said, that's it. I've had enough of this. You're going to start practicing what you preach.
Get on it, brother.
Get up out of that pity potty and get on that microphone and start singing. She started saying, nobody likes my kind of singing anymore. She used to sing kind of opera type things. She's got a real high voice. Most of our stuff is not that high. But anyway, she used to sing for weddings and funerals, and she has sang in churches all over this city. And the enemy got on her case and beat her down. And I said, that's enough. I said,
that's... They don't like mine either.
But I'm just using that for an example. And I'm going to tell you, we all can feel that way at times, you know.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of people over the years tell me they don't like my preaching. Now, I'll tell you, when I first started preaching, it was terrible. I don't know what it is now. I wouldn't even listen to myself. But the issue is, we're in the victory now.